4 after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Blessed to have the 6th Bishop of the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, Florida with us, member of our faith family here on Morning Air, Bishop Bill Walk. Your Excellency, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm doing really well.
Has your diocese sufficiently dried out from all of the tropical weather that you've had there?
Well, let's hope this is the last one. You know, we've seen the last one. However, there's another one churning right now, you know, in St. Petersburg to the south of us, and then one more out in the ocean, but that looks like that's going to go away. It's been a pretty tough hurricane season, though.
It really has been a tough hurricane season, and prayers for all of those who have been affected, not only in North America, but also in Central America, because it's wreaked a lot of devastation, especially in Central America. Here we are now at the end of the liturgical year, and there are some very powerful messages that we'll hear in the gospel, maybe messages that we don't want to hear, because it really begs of us to do a pretty strong examination of conscience before we get to Advent.
Absolutely. You know, we all know that the church has these seasons, these major liturgical seasons. Advent, you just mentioned, Lent, Christmas, Easter, and Ordinary Time, which is the largest, the longest season. But we also have these mini seasons throughout the year. You know, one is every 3 years in summer when we're reading Mark's Gospel, we have, we read from John chapter 6, because Mark's Gospel is so small, so, you know, it's the shortest, so we kind of fill it in with John chapter 6, the great Eucharistic teaching of Jesus. And then we have this mini season in November, and it focuses on the end times, the last things, the second coming of Christ. So as we go through the Sundays, especially in November, we go down, kind of just reflecting on what that's about and why that should be in front of us, our own death, Christ's second coming. And that leads perfectly into Advent, which starts there talking about the second coming and then moves pretty quickly to the first coming of Jesus at Christmas.
As we get to this time of year, Bishop Walk, and talk about and think about those last things, it's a good thing the church calendar is there to maybe remind us, because as a society, sometimes we want to look further and further in the opposite direction from some of those last things.
Oh my goodness, it seems, we are so into death-defying or denying, you know, activities. You just look at anyone. I hate to pick on Hollywood, but let's do it. When a star is interviewed, a lot of times they talk about, you know, how they're trying their hardest not to age, you know, and you can see it in their face and everything, and all the facelifts and and all the surgeries and everything. It's a denial of death. You know, we're going to do whatever we can to look as good as we can and stay alive as long as we can, you know, because this is what we can control. But of course, death comes to all of us. And instead of looking at that as something bad, something horrible, something to be avoided, we Christians really, we don't embrace our own death because we do like our life, but we look forward to that. And we actually say we look forward to the blessed hope of Christ's coming or our death, whichever comes first.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Bishop Walk, because with one of the priests in my parish, just cleaning up the altar a couple of weeks ago after I was the reader at the 4 o'clock Mass, we were talking about that. Not that it was a morbid conversation or we want to die or we want anything like that to happen tomorrow, but just talking about this beautiful foretaste of heaven that we had both experienced and what heaven is going to be like.
And that's what it should be like. We should dream and hope and even fantasize about heaven, about being with God. It is for this reason that we were created. Everyone knows, I hope, that great quote by St. Augustine, you know, "Oh God, you have created us for you, and our hearts are restless until at last they rest in you." You know, and then we hear the Psalms. They say, "Like a dry, weary land without water, my soul thirsts for you." Or the awesome quote from St. Teresa of Avila that's in the Catechism, where she says, "Hope, my soul, dream, that the more you dream, the better it will be." And I gave a talk recently on this, and I said, I have to ask myself and all of us, do we hope, do we fantasize, do we dream, do we long for heaven? And sometimes I have to catch myself, you know, thinking that, or forgetting that that's really what we should be about, when I'm so worried about the things of this world, when really everything, including Scripture, of course, and Jesus himself, have us longing for heaven and dreaming about it and thinking about it.
Bishop Walk, recently we lost a longtime game show host and well-respected broadcaster Alex Trebek. Lots of fine things were said about him, which is awesome and deserved as far as we know. Do we need to spend a little more time maybe reverse engineering our lives to look at an end and to be looked at well in the end and then, you know, look backward and live with that end in mind?
That's a great way to put that. I believe so. I believe that we should, as St. Paul urges us, we should remember that we are already citizens of heaven. Wait, how can that be? We're here on earth. Yes, but if we are united to Christ and he has taken our flesh, human flesh that never existed before in heaven before the ascension, our flesh, part of us, is in heaven now. And so we have to remember that we're already citizens. That's why Paul could say often, so often, you know, with my eyes fixed on what is sure to come, or I'm not quite there, haven't crossed the finish line, but I run like a champion. I think it's not a denial. Some people might think this is a way of denying or escaping the problems of earth. It's not that at all. But there's another great quote. I haven't said anything original in my life. I just quote scripture and others. But anyway, it's Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. Who talked about, he said, the distinctive mark of the Christian is that he or she has a future and knows that. And that's what helps them to live well in the present. So it's really focusing on the future, not as a way to escape things of the present reality, but as a way to order things right in the present reality so that we will be there one day in heaven.
Bishop Walk, as we talk about the theme of some of the readings over the last few weeks at the end of the liturgical year and the four last things and what every Catholic has to know about them, we are citizens, yes, of heaven, but we're citizens here right now and our responsibilities as disciples. And of course, we heard the gospel, the parable of the talents, is using it, not burying it. And we're given much by God and we're asked to do something with it. If we're kind of stalled in living the message of that gospel, how do you rekindle that fire to understand that we're not supposed to bury those talents, but use them for the greater good and his greater glory?
I think the exact topic, what we're talking about today, will help us to do that. It is by focusing on the last thing, the end times, the second coming, that gives us this, what we call a holy fear. Now, to be honest, it gives a lot of people just fear and fright, and that's not really Christian, but a holy fear, that is this awe and this understanding that this is what God wants, and he wants it for me. I want it, but I could lose it. I have freedom. I could lose that eternal bliss in heaven. And so that helps me. That reminds me, I better start living now as a future citizen of heaven. You know, I better order my actions right now toward that. And if I look at my life honestly, or with the spiritual director in confession, or before the tabernacle, if I do reflection and examine, and I see I'm not using my talents, the talents God gave me, well, this is a grace-filled time, this time between Christ's first and second coming. This is the time of great mercy when he allows us, as often as we want, as often as we can, to go back to him, to accept his grace and mercy, receive his forgiveness through confession, and receive and be strengthened by his body and blood and soul and divinity in the Eucharist.
Bishop Walk, is an adult convert to Catholicism. I grew up as a Protestant with assurance of salvation, which is a great and peaceful feeling, gives you confidence looking forward. We don't want to, you know, just take things for granted, especially as a Catholic, when we learn about that. But yet we still can have confidence looking forward. How can we navigate that and still have some confidence looking forward to eternal life as a Catholic, and not, I mean, to certainly have that fear and respect of the Lord and fear of things going wrong, but yet have confidence moving through life?
Well, I think it's an attentiveness to Scripture and the teaching of the Church that tells us that, yes, while that we should be confident, we should not take it for granted. That is a sin if we presume that no matter what we do, God will forgive us, you know. Or even some people say, well, can you confess sins in advance? I think it's going to be a wild weekend. Absolutely not. That is presumption, and that's wrong. You can't do that. But on the other hand, in Scripture you see where Jesus and others say, you know, be careful not that you don't lose the gift that God is giving to you. And so it's a reminder to hold on to that and to cultivate this gift of forgiveness, grace, now, and eternal life in the end. It's something that we need to reflect on and think about. And as I said, you know, orient ourselves even now toward that. Just one more thing about, you talked about an expectation. You know, I think we do need to say it a little bit stronger. When I give talks on hope and on heaven, I remind people that in Spanish, if you know Spanish, the verb to hope is esperar. And esperar can also mean to expect. It's more than just a, gosh, I hope there's a heaven after all this. It's really an expectation. You know, I know that there is, and I'm going there. Like St. Therese of Lisieux, who said, I am going to heaven. She said that on her deathbed, and I will do my good. I'll do good in heaven for you on earth. So that was pretty confident, almost cocky. But that's kind of what we have to do. St. Paul said that as well. I know that I'm going. So I think we need to have that confidence, and yet it doesn't come from anything we've done, we have to admit. This comes from Jesus Christ. And if I get to heaven, please God, it will be through Jesus Christ and his merits and his graces and goodness.
Bishop Bock, with that holy confidence, how do we have that conversation saying that, well, I'm going to heaven with someone, perhaps within our own family, who's walked away from their faith and doesn't believe in heaven?
Yeah, that's good. I think, you know, I think a lot of people walk away from it. And I know people in my extended family as well, because it's almost too good to be true for them. You know, there are so many things in this world that disappoint us, so many people disappoint us, our leaders, you know, some of our leaders and even some of our religious leaders, they bring us down and they make us think, well, then there's no one can be trusted. There's nothing that is really objectively true. This is all there is. And so it's remembering that it's not just that these people, most of these people, you know, are adamantly against it. I will never believe. No, there's no way you're going to convince them. No, if we shift our mindset and think, This is the best news that anyone could ever receive, the good news. And it's sad that people won't accept that. So I want to share that with them, not so that they can, you know, believe what I believe and everything will be all right, but so that they can have that same joy that I have. So I think, first of all, we need to cultivate that joy, that expectation, that hope, and then share it with people. And not as a way to say you're sinning, you're going to hell, but say, why would you turn this down? Why would you turn your back on the greatest good you could possibly imagine? I know, sounds too good to be true, but it isn't. It is true. We have the saints, we have Jesus Christ, we have the scriptures, we have the church to back all of that up.
Bishop Bock, scripture says no one knows the day nor the hour, but again, as part of the last things, when we think of the second coming of Christ, that's something, you know, it might get, you know, preached and addressed as it comes up in the liturgical calendar, but not the subject of a lot of popular conversation around church, or necessarily other than the occasional kind of off-the-wall preachers predicting the end of the world in our regular cultural conversation. But what ought do we always kind of bear in the back of our mind about the second coming of our Lord?
Well, I don't talk about it all the time, but I do. I find myself saying, when someone asks me, I think I've said this before, on this program, but let's say a couple comes up to me and they're so excited and they say, oh, Father Bill or Bishop Bill, we're getting married. We're getting married in a year. We want you to do it. And I say, okay, great. I am free. I'd love to do it, but I really pray that Jesus comes before that. And they're a little offended and they get sad. You know, they say, but our wedding. And I say, well, I remind them, I'm pretty sure when Jesus comes, you're not going to say, oh, this is a bad day. Can you come in another month? That'd be better. No, our soul, I believe, which will recognize Christ, our soul will almost burst with joy, I think, when Jesus comes. We will want nothing else but to go with him, you know, or to be purified, to be made clean. And it's not a day to be feared, but it's something we pray for. And I remind people we do it at every Mass, you know, as we wait in blessed hope for the coming of the Lord. And so it should be something not to terrify us at all in any way, but to fill us with great joy and expectation and longing for his coming.
Bishop Bill Bock joining us from the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, Florida, this morning here on Morning Air. And speaking to that point, we know that God is the perfect judge, so there's no concern that his judgments will somehow be unfair or unjust. But I want to go back to something that you said just a few moments ago, and that was holy fear and how we need to embrace it. What is holy fear, and how should we look at that before we go into the confessional? That is not necessarily fear, but holy fear we want to take with us, if you can do the distinction between the two. But when we walk into that confessional, it's to strengthen and build our romance with Jesus.
Well said. holy fear is, again, we're tripped up just by the word fear, you know, that when we hear fear of the Lord or holy fear, but it's a gift of the Holy Spirit because it turns us toward God. And it does it in this way. It reminds us, quite frankly, that I am not God. There is a God. I'm not him. And I am accountable to God. God is holy. God is awesome. God is merciful and loving. But it's not me. And so I need God. I need all those things that I just mentioned. So holy fear really turns us. It gives us the proper disposition with which to adore God and worship the Lord and order our days aright. It really is the difference between a perfect and an imperfect act of contrition. An imperfect act of contrition is one that says, I don't want to go to hell. I'm terrified of that. So I'm sorry for my sins. But a perfect act of contrition is, God, I want to be with you forever. I want to receive the blessed gift of heaven. I am sorry for my sins because they have offended you and they have hurt me. So really, holy fear is closer to it. That's what that is, really. It's recognizing who God is and ordering ourselves and being contrite so that we can obtain the gift that God wants to give us.
Bishop Wach, if we're doing our Christian walk as best we can have some confidence that God takes care of us, has our back for eternal life, to free us up necessarily so that we can help be concerned about others and we're not only concerned about our own self all the time.
Well, you know, it's not, the goal is not just to get me into heaven by myself at all. It is clear that we are tasked with helping our brothers and sisters. You know, that goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, the answer we see in Scripture is yes. In fact, you are. And as a parent, you know, you have the obligation to help bring your children into heaven. As a spouse, the same thing with your spouse. You know, your parents, your friends, priests have a responsibility for the people in their parish, and I have it for the diocese. We all have this responsibility, not just for ourselves, but to help as many people as possible to receive this great gift that God wants to give us.
We always ask, Bishop Wach, as long as you're going, could Glenn and I carpool?
I love that. Yes, absolutely. Plenty
all
of
right. All right. That's good. That's good. The message of the readings that you and I will hear in these last few Sundays of the liturgical year, preparing for Advent and the birth of our Savior as well, and taking a look at the four last things. Bishop Bill Wach, the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, Florida. We are so blessed to have him as a voice here on Morning Air. Bishop Wach, may we have your blessing this morning, please?
Absolutely. Good and gracious God, we ask you to bless all of us. Bless all those who are listening. Bless our families, our friends. Bless those who are lost and who are struggling with the faith. And even those who have turned their back on the faith and on you. Turn them back in your great love and mercy so that they may not only do what is right, but they may realize your goodness and want with all their heart to receive that eternally in heaven. Bless us, keep us on the right track, and when we fall away, Father, bring us to forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless these and all your children, I pray, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bishop Bill Wach from the Diocese of Pensacola, Tallahassee, Florida, you remain in our prayers, Bishop Wach. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you all.